screen on my right, please.
God, today we celebrate life. Life that is God created. We remember that you made our minds and hearts. You wove us together in our mother's womb. We will give you thanks because your deeds are awesome and amazing. You knew us thoroughly. Our bones were not hidden from you when we were made in secret and sewn together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw us when we were inside the womb. All the days ordained for us were recorded in your scroll before one of them came into existence. So teach us to consider our lives so that we might live wisely. For we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that you prepared beforehand so that we may do them. So today, the good work that we will do is to honor life as being sacred, to stand up for the helpless, to love the unloved, and to fight for the unborn. We praise you, God, with all our being. Let us always remember all that God is doing.
Sanctity of human life kind of developed out of the termination of life in utero, but it's gone on to be much more than that. Euthanasia is a problem that we face because we say, well, it's not the quality of life. If they don't have a good quality, then we would just like to terminate life as well. All life belongs to God. We don't hear about it much in the United States, but infanticide is rampant around the world, and we don't talk about it a lot. Infanticide is basically when they don't want to have any more baby girls, and all they want are baby boys, and so they terminate the life after the child has been born. There are many ways in which our culture is very cruel in relationship to our children, our elderly, and that which they simply do not want. We need to be a group of people, a church of people that understands the significance of life and the purpose of that life that has been granted to us. And so today I hope to talk on the basis of that as we think in terms of life, basically life, all life that has been granted to us by God. God was sitting in heaven one day when a scientist said to him, God, we don't need you anymore. Science has finally figured out a way to create life out of nothing. In other words, we can now do what you did in the very beginning. Oh, is that so? Replied God. Well, said the scientist, we can take dirt and form it into the likeness of you and breathe life into it and thus create man. Well, that's very interesting, God said. Would you show me? So the scientist bent down and he got a handful of dirt and he started to mold the soil into the shape of a man. God said, no, 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 no. Get your own dirt. The video that I just showed to you is significant, and Glenn is correct. Everything that was said on there has its roots, if not directly from the scriptures, the things that you heard. At the end, in the conclusion here, I'm going to also show another video that comes along, and everything that is said in there is from the scriptures as well. As it relates to us, as it relates to children and to adults, and it relates to life. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1 says this, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations, in reference to Jeremiah in particular. Later, as another passage of Scripture in Psalm 139 that we need to constantly think about as well. Actually, it's a whole text, a paragraph of information. But for right now, I just want to read one verse, and then later we'll come back and look at it. In Psalm 139, verse 16, you saw me before I was born, Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. There's something that we have to constantly come back to and we wrestle with in the depths of our being, is this concept of creation. We've heard so much about it, and evolution has found a place within our culture and some of the things that are there. The simplicity of the complex issues that face us can be boiled down to just a few thoughts that I'd like to share with you as we begin the message this day. The first one, which has mainly been caught up in our culture and our world around us, is this: the view that the universe and all that we see had no origin. That basically it's always been there, there's always been matter, there's always been something out there, and ultimately it became human. It was formed and became human. The view that that matter is eternal is difficult for me to accept, and that it can be formed into something that can be recognizable. By chance, when the right elements come together and are gathered together, you would have to accept that by faith. No one was there. They can't test it. You would have to accept it by faith. And yet in the world that lies around us, they don't talk about faith very often. They don't talk about belief very often. The second proposal that I would place before you is another idea. It is the idea of a cause. It's that idea for everything that exists, there is a personal being who created it all. That there was somebody outside the system who then created. As a matter of fact, from the Genesis, it says created from nothing and placed it together. You have to accept that by faith. No one was there. We couldn't see it. But we accept it by faith. The Bible, of course, is the second view that I talked about in here. I would like to go back and start. I have four things I'd like to say this day. And the first one is, it all begins here. And if you have your Bible, I'd like you to go to Genesis chapter 1. That's a good place to begin. For it all begins here. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When you confront life, there's some questions that we have to ask. When we confront creation, we have to ask the questions of where, why, when. There's a myriad of questions that we want to come to. But when Moses gets that kind of thought in his mind, where, why, when, and all the other questions that come together, he simply wrote down these words: in the beginning, God. And that's where he starts. Because God has existed for an eternity of time. He is a personal being that existed in the heavens. And he chose to create, as it says there, the heavens and the earth around us. Moses wrote it so that we would understand that there is an existence beyond what we can comprehend, beyond what we can place together in a sense of this is how it worked out. Because it is a personality. It is a person that made the difference in every possible way. And this world has the marks of the personality. Let me put it this way. If you were to go to build something and you were to make it uniquely yours, not like anyone else's, it would have your personality. Somebody could come in and say, "Ha, I know who made that. I can see their creativity in the article that was made." So it is with the heavens and the earth, that someone somehow placed it all together, and by faith we believe that someone is God. And it's always for the believer to come to that place. It's always for us to come by faith to this passage of Scripture and say, I believe that it's true. I believe that what is written here is for each and every one of us. And he attached the thoughts and the ideas that are here. And yet, I want you to know that when we come to creation, I believe that as a church, I believe that as a people, we have missed something very significant. And that is that we don't often say how great our Creator is. We talk about our Lord, We talk about Jesus. We talk about the salvation that he offers to us. But do you know, and I want you to know, that the biblical writers, and we could go through and point out all of the passages that say, great praise to the creator of the universe. Great praise to the God who created all of these things around us. And almost in every unique position in the Old Testament, it was that they offered praise to the Creator. They made it a point in Scripture, in a point in their worship, to say, it is the Creator that we worship. It is the Creator who placed all things here. And I think sometimes we don't emphasize that enough. As a matter of fact, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, it says this, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. It doesn't end there. It goes on to state why. For you created all things. By your will, they exist and were created. I think we need to be reminded more often. Maybe we need to write on a little board. Maybe we need to put it up where we can see it on our mirror when we get ready every morning. You are the Creator. How wonderful you are. You are the Creator that put it all together. And that is a statement by faith that I believe that what you have done is found in the book and that I can believe it in every way. It's an understanding that life begins with the creative act of God. It's not ours. It really belongs to God. And we have to constantly remember that because it all begins right here. In the beginning, God created. God put it together so that we might understand it and that we might know the truth of what He has for us. The second point is not only this idea that it all began here, but actually, this is you. This is you. The pinnacle of God's creative work is humans, man and woman. They are the pinnacle of everything that He did. If you read this chapter, and we're not going to take the time to go through it, He created the grass and the animals and the sun and the moon. He created all of these wonderful things. And He said, every time He came to it, it is good, it is great. And then finally He says, but there's one thing. It's going to hold the highest position over all the other things that are there. In the creative acts of God, this is the pinnacle of everything that He was going to do and He was going to put together. And it's us. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man, or let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, the livestock and all the animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. And they were to rule. They were the very top of everything that God was going to do. It was good, it was good, it was good. And then He said, let's create man in our image. That image is in the uniqueness of God. Let's talk about that for just a minute, because when you begin to see the trees of evolution and how they play it out, there comes an animal kingdom. And where we are actually placed is in the animal kingdom. And I believe that's probably true based upon our physical makeup. We are very much like the animals that are around us. We have eyes we can see. We have noses we can smell. We have the things that the animals have that are around us. But I want you to know when He says, let us make human beings in our image, there was something uniquely different about that. From what we understand from creation, it was not only the body that He created from the dust of the earth, it was not only the soul that was granted to them, but He gave them one more thing that the animals don't have. He gave us a spirit. Because when we are created in the image of God, we are created like God. And God is a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24 talks about He who is a spirit. God is spirit and truth. And it's that very idea that raises us above all the other creatures on the face of the earth. That we were created in the image of God. This is you. You are the height of what God wanted to have on the face of this earth. You were the best that he had in the creative act of God as he began to put it together. Oh, it shows a symmetry. It shows a beauty of what God has. It shows an intelligent design, if we want to just call it that, and we can put that down. It's all there. But it's that we have the Spirit, and we are image bearers of God. And we carry that about with us all the time. Every human being, everyone that comes into this earth, bears that image to the entire world around us. We don't need a body. You know, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, absent from the body is what? Oh my, absent from the body. I wonder if we get cold. You know, I wonder if we get lost without this body. But it's not the body. It's the image of God in us that makes all the difference in the creative act of God. And for everyone that comes on this earth, and everyone who passes into eternity, for those who come in and are not well-liked and their life is simply snuffed out, they're destroying the image of God every single time from a biblical perspective. It all begins with creation. For we are the creative act of God. Let me go on to the third thing that I want to talk to you about, and that is the one purpose. Not only is there a sense in that it all began with creation, not only is it that we who were created, but that we were created with a purpose and a plan. We were created in that image that we might accomplish something. And to really discuss that, I want to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. For I believe this particular chapter gives us an understanding of purpose and of a plan for each and every one of us. By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That we now see, what we now see, did not come from anything that can be seen. I like that passage of Scripture. I like that which is there. And I'm reading out of a little different translation today, the New Living Translation. So it's a little bit different for what you maybe have in front of you. Again, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That we now see, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It is that which God put together. And we understand that by faith. We understand that as we begin to think in terms of what God has done and what He has done for us. That formed at God's command is the frame by the Word of God, that we see His hand in the creative act. And then if you would just take a glance, if your Bible is in paragraph form, and I would just like you to notice how often it says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. I'm just reading down in the paragraphs, in the first few words of those paragraphs. By faith, again, there's another one, by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith. Oh, by faith. Oh, by faith again in verse 31. I hope you get the image of what's happening here. By faith, by faith, by faith. Do you know how the Old Testament saints lived and the New Testament saints that were coming in? They lived by faith in He who they could not see. They lived by faith. Their actions were by faith. If there was a purpose of this life that we have before us, is that we learn to live by faith. And that's faith in our God. That's faith in the one who created us. And we are to worship Him because He is the Creator. He is the wonderful one who has made us and all that we see around us. And we should be enamored and awed by what we see and by what we have. You know, I don't go to Phoenix very often. The only time I go is when I have to. But I'm always amazed as I drive down there and I go, this is beautiful. God made this. Look at what's here. Now, the hustle and bustle of the city is a little different. But when you travel and you see them, and you identify them. I know the trees and the cactus names. I was brought up that way. Matter of fact, when my granddaughter travels with me, I take her to school every day. She has finally learned every tree that we pass on the way to Payson. She can name them and tell me what they are. And now we're starting on the flowers and the grass because they're going to come into bloom. A glow mallow, an Arizona daisy. We're going to look at all of that because there's an appreciation of creation for what God has created. And in the simplest of things, to the highest form, which is you and I, God has a plan for us. And for us, it's that we live by faith, and we choose to continue to follow by faith, that by faith, we can subdue our enemies, we can conquer, we can live righteously in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I told you I was going to read this passage of Scripture because in Psalm 139, I believe it, in the New Living Translation, it makes it so very evident for us. But in Psalm 139, again, beginning with verse 13 and ending with verse 16 that I read earlier, he simply says this: You made all of the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Now I look at this passage of Scripture, and again I'm reminded of the greatness of our God and of the detail of our God in placing it in every part of our lives and putting it together for us. Praise God for His unique creation. And I believe that each one of us is a unique individual in the eyes of God. I'd have to say, you know, as they tell us there's no snowflake exactly alike, there's no human being. Twins get close. Okay? Identical twins. But they're still different. When you talk to them, as you interact with them, they have a different personality, even though they look exactly the same. It is unique that God has made us. You know, the atheist said there is no God. The agnostic said we can't know God. The polytheist said there are many gods. The pantheist said God is just nature around us. The materialist said matter is eternal. And the fatalist said, there's no plan, there's no chance, you're just floating out there, and there is no purpose to your life. Christianity says, you are the unique creation of the God of the universe. Amen. Over all things. And I pray that we understand that, and that we are willing to be those individuals who stand upon the concepts of God granting us life. There are answers to the masses of individuals who have lost their lives in utero. I hope you read just recently of Tucson, Arizona, where a small baby was found in a bathroom, laid upon a diaper changer table. Just a few weeks ago it happened. The mother had evidently given birth to the child, cleaned the child up, wrapped it in a very nice blanket, and left it there to be found. In our culture and in our world, we've said that we want to make places where they can take those children. We have safe havens, hospitals, fire departments. You can take that child there. I would hope that our children are not terminated, but are placed in adoption for those who can love them, those who can care for them, and most of all, those who can teach them about the God who created them. I hope that becomes something that we can pass on to others, We can say there is a place for children. The last thing I want to talk about this day as we come to a conclusion is there is another story that goes along with all of this. Out of the book of Genesis, it tells us that, and I'm not going to read it for you, we'll just tell the story, you probably are familiar with it, that after the creation of Adam and ultimately Eve, there was a moment in time in which they simply disobeyed God. I don't know how long they'd been in the garden and how long they had done everything they were supposed to, but there came a day when the serpent, Satan himself, brought about some thoughts and some words and tempted them. It says Eve was deceived, but not Adam. Adam deliberately knew that he was disobeying God when he ate of the fruit of the tree. His body began to decay on that day, and he began to die. It was a great body because it lived for hundreds of years. God had made a good body, but it began to die, and eventually Adam died. But there was something else that happened on that day, and something that we have to deal with on an ongoing basis. And that was that the spirit of relationship, the spirit that had a relationship, the image that was imprinted upon us, was marred. It was damaged, and it separated us from God. And in that, mankind was lost and became hopeless. But the whole story of the Bible was related to what happened on that day, because God said, I will provide a substitute. I will bring into the world somebody who will pay the penalty for that death that you suffered. Because it tells us that the spirit is dead and needs to be made alive. And so it became like a rope thrown to a drowning man, a hope, an answer, that we don't have to live godless, but we can come to an understanding of who He is, and we can learn to love Him because He provided a sacrifice for us. Not only did He create a universe, not only did He create the earth that we have, but He brought about an answer to the disobedience of mankind. And that was the Son of God, who came on the face of the earth, born as a child, given a body, but bearing about on that inside the very image of God. And He carried it with Him. And there was a newness in what He brought. And for everyone who finally comes to an understanding by faith of what He has done and what He has accomplished, and that He paid the penalty for their sins, and He erased that disobedience with forgiveness, there is a passage of Scripture that refers to it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. The new creation. That which starts all over inside of us. That which God makes new in us. It's called the new nature, if you've read the Scriptures. It's called that new part of us. It is called the new man, because God makes it new all over again, and He changes it for us. The King James says it this way, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I hope that we go on to continue to praise our Creator, He who made all things for us. But may we also rejoice in the fact of what our Savior has done for us to bring us into the newness of life, that we may know our Lord, and that we might have life and have it for eternity of time with Him. I hope that in all of our circumstances and in all of the events of our lives, that we will choose life and we will help others to do the same thing and choose life. The video you're going to watch is all Scripture. So I hope you enjoy God's Word.
God is a Prayer of Life. A Bible says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Jeremiah 1:5. For you were created, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works is wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, and I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, for one of them came to be. John 1:39-16. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans purposed for you, but not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Jeremiah 29:11.
I hope you noticed that as we got ready for the message part of the service, I sing the mighty power of God is all about creation. It is singing about the mighty power of what God did in those creative acts and the things that He had done. In just a moment, we're going to also sing, "This is my Father's world." And to my listening ears, all nature sings and around me rings the music of the spheres. I rest me in the thought of rocks and of trees and of skies and seas, that His hand, His wonders He has wrought. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven will be one. He has the answer. He was in the beginning, and He will be there in the end. May we express faith and live by faith in the purposing of our lives to follow the God of creation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we love you. How we even purpose in our hearts and our lives this day to be more cognizant of the creative acts of our God. And to be a people who simply go back and say, Lord, here is a point in time. And we want to remember. We want to sing the praises. We want to talk about the wonder. We want to talk about the majesty of our God and what He has accomplished and what He did. How He said it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And how a Savior was brought to be born of us, to become a sacrifice, to pay the penalty for our sins. Father, your plan was complete, and your plan will go on to completion. And we are so very grateful. May you make us a people who live in a world that sometimes is dark and difficult. But may we have a message. Choose life. For God created it. God gave it. And in that body is stamped the image of God. Thank you, Father, for loving us and caring for us. Father, if there are any here who have never taken a step of faith to know the Savior, we pray, Lord, that this would be a day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.